Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning as we listen to Donna's prelude. Thank you, Donna. Good morning again. We have some short announcement time today. There's the announcements in your bulletin. The Lenten services continue on Wednesday evenings, as well as there's information then about, as we continue our walk towards Easter, the Maundy Thursday Seder Supper, as well as then the prayer vigil. There's information about that. The church has been ordering some hymnals to supplement what we have on hand, and if you'd like to help participate in that financially, there's some information in there as well. Coming up, something to pray about is that we're looking for a volunteer to help facilitate an adult Sunday school class through the school year, September through May. My father, Ted, is retiring from that, not from the firm. Don't let that get out. But Sunday school for a bit. And so if you're interested in taking my dad's place, talk to my mom, Jennifer Grooms, and she'll help you in Sunday school, not in life. Anyways. We also have another an announcement that's not in your bulletin is that Donna, our organist, is teaching piano and organ lessons, and if you know anyone that might be interested in that, please get them in contact with Donna. She's looking to promote more people tickling the ivories. So let Donna know about that. With that being said, let's stand and greet those of us that are not on spring break, and then we'll come together and sing our opening hymn, number 272, verses 1, 2, and 5. Good time today. Morning, buddy. How are you? Good.
Spring break is over.
Yeah, that's right. You're on the tail end. Would you please join with me in the call to worship printed in the bulletin? We come together as a people whom Jesus calls into community.
Some
And we are all here because we love God.
We belong to one another in Jesus Christ.
Now is the time to give thanks and worship God.
Now is the time to give thanks, to unload our hearts, to share our lives, and to hear again the story of God's saving grace.
Because we are God's people.
Let us worship God together.
Would you please pray with me? Holy God, one in grace, one in glory, one in love. You call us to love and serve you as one people, united in heart, mind, spirit, and strength. Help us to love one another, living in unity and peace, working together in your spirit for the good of all, through Jesus Christ, our reconciler and our redeemer. Hear us today as we pray together the words your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of prayer today is The Old Rugged Cross. You'll find it on page 548, and we'll sing the first two verses. Our children come forward for a time of sharing. Hi, Victoria. I'm glad you brought Grandpa with you. Come on up. Tansy. And Alex and Asher are coming too. Come sit down. Come sit down. It's okay. Good job. So I have a question. I'm wondering if any of you have ever played musical chairs.
Yeah.
Yeah? Can you tell everybody how you play musical chairs? Can you describe how it works? Here, hold the microphone and tell us how to do it.
You play it like there's like a certain amount of chairs, and then you dance around them, and there's always one person that doesn't have a chair, and you keep, in each round, you get rid of a chair until there's only one chair left.
I think that was a great explanation. So usually you put the chairs in a circle, and if you have 10 people playing, you start with 9 chairs. And the music plays, and you go around the circle, and when the music stops, everybody tries real fast to get a chair, right? And if you're the last one and you didn't get a chair, then you have to wait till the next round, and you take a chair with you. And now we have 9 people and 8 chairs. And you keep going and going and going until there's only one chair left, and that one person is a winner until you play again. It's kind of a fun game. Uh-huh. But you know, church, I've been thinking, church is kind of the opposite of musical chairs. Instead of taking chairs away, we like to add chairs in. We don't have a whole lot of people here this morning because it's spring break. A lot of our young families are out of town. Your big brother is out of town for the whole week. It's an exciting adventure. But sometimes on Christmas Eve and Easter Sunday, we have lots of extra people. And so we bring in extra chairs. And if more people come, we just keep bringing in chairs. So the church is a place where people are always welcome. And there's always room for one more. You fell down? I'm sorry. Sometimes we fall down when we play musical chairs because we're running fast. Do you have a boo-boo from where you fell down? Yeah. Well, Mackenzie, your outfit looks very cute today. I'm sorry that you fell down. Yeah, but I'm glad you're okay and you're here for church. Okay. So just remember, if you have a friend that sometime you would like to invite to church with you, we will always make room for them. There's always room for one more. I see, you have Band-Aids.
Yeah.
I'm so glad your mom and dad take good care of you. How about we have a closing prayer together? If you're comfortable holding hands, we'll hold hands, and if not, we will just pray. So let us pray. Dear God, we thank you that there's always room at the table for one more. We thank you for picking us up when we fall down. We thank you for the joy of music and the fun of playing musical chairs, but also learning that there's room for one more. In Christ's name, all God's children said, amen. Amen. And our children are going to follow Mrs. Grooms. There's a puppet show for them in the boardroom today at the end of the hall upstairs. And there's nursery care downstairs. And I'm very proud of the adults for not jumping up and running to see the puppet show instead of staying in worship. On the back of your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns and joys that we're sharing together as a congregation today. And as we lift these up, I encourage you to reach into the pew rack in front of you. You'll find a postcard with a picture of the church on one side. We use these as prayer cards. You're encouraged to write a note to someone who needs to know you're praying for them. Place that card in the offering tray later in the service, and we'll deliver it for you. Our card shower today is just an encouragement for you to think of someone who makes First Christian Church feel like true community for you. Write a note to someone who welcomes you, who encourages you, who blesses your spiritual journey, or write a note to someone whom you miss seeing here on Sundays. In addition to our prayer list this morning, John Barrett has been in our prayers for many weeks as he was fighting cancer. The addition is the information that he passed away at hospice early Friday morning. John's funeral will be here in our sanctuary Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Please pray for his wife, Ginger, for John's children and for all of their family. There were several additional concerns that were named at chapel this morning, and I will lift those up for you. We prayed a few weeks ago for Brooklyn, and she is doing very well after surgery. That's Nina's granddaughter. Prayers for Cindy Warner, who is having liver issues. That's Dewey Smith's son's mother. Prayers for Paul Smith's wife, Melanie White. She simply has ongoing health challenges. He said one day this week was not good and one day was good. It's an up and down journey for her. He would like her to just always be in our prayers. Dewey Smith will have eye surgery again in Denver sometime in the next month. Prayers for him. Mina Padgett's son-in-law, David Brumeyer, has been having significant health issues and is not doing well at all. So please pray for David. Janice Cooey will have a surgery on Thursday. She'll be in the hospital overnight, just one night. So pray for Janice on Thursday that all goes well. And we had a request to pray for those who are struggling with addictions, alcohol, drugs, and other issues. The missionary that we're lifting up this morning is Carlos Cedillas, who is serving in Real, Mexico. And we continue to pray for those in Nebraska, Missouri, and elsewhere in the Midwest who are still affected by severe flooding and consequences of winter weather. Prayers for Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and Malawi, for people who are recovering from a significant cyclone that hit the continent of Africa. Our local chaplain at the hospital, Zach Buhuro, one of the chaplains there, has not been able to reach his brother, and prayers that it is simply a matter of communications being down and not a loss of life for their family. Are there others today that we want to lift up in prayer or joys that we want to share this morning? Debbie. That is a joy. And if you'd like to send greetings to the members of Sovereign Grace Church, there are prayer partners today. There's a sheet on the back table in the sanctuary you can sign. We've been praying for Bob Griffin as he struggled with health issues, and we're thankful that he's doing much better today. Rick and Terry Black are spending spring break in Washington State visiting David and Misty Baker. David continues to struggle with cancer. This weekend, he's undergoing a 48-hour nonstop chemo treatment. It is a mighty battle for him, and Dave and Terry are delivering a fleece blanket on our behalf as a sign of prayers and greetings from our congregation to Dave and Misty. Jim.
Yeah, prayers for my wife, Mary, who just, she's now recovered from surgery, but she's still going through a little pain, but she goes back to work tomorrow, and so that she does okay.
Prayers for Mary Oliver as she returns to work after knee surgery and after other health concerns as well. Let us hold all of these prayers in our hearts as we turn to the Lord in a time of shared silence. Amazing God of mystery, we know you as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We call upon your name as the creator of the world, and we embrace you as our heavenly parent, our father and mother, our one who loves us unconditionally. O God, creator, sustainer, redeemer, you are even beyond our naming, beyond our ability to fully know. And so gathering for worship as a community is an act of faith in that we step into the mystery of your presence. Holy One, we know that you may touch us in ways we cannot anticipate. The gentle breath of your Spirit moves through tears and laughter, through words and silence, and through the presence of fellow worshipers when we gather in this place. Oh, Holy God, we ask your blessing upon all the prayers of our hearts, those that we lift to you that cannot yet be formed into words. And we pray for all those whom we have named. For Mina's son-in-law, David. For Brooklyn. For Cindy Warner. For the family of John Barrett as they prepare to celebrate his life, even in the midst of grieving the loss of his presence. We pray for restoration and continuation of sight for Dewey as he faces eye surgery again. Lord, be with Scott Whitcomb, Trisha Wood's father, as he battles cancer, her mother Diane. Be with Josh Wood's grandfather as he's hospitalized following hip surgery. We ask your health and blessing upon Melanie White. Through the ups and downs of her life's journey, we give you thanks for the faithful presence of her husband, Paul, at her side. God be with Janice as she has surgery on Thursday. Bless the doctors and nurses and help her healing and recovery to go well. We give thanks for Pastor Bob Griffin and the members of Sovereign Grace Church who partner with us in the sandwich ministry. We pray your blessing upon his strength this morning as he preaches your word, and we give thanks for his restored health. Holy One, be with Mary Oliver as she returns to work. Help her, even though she continues to deal with pain, to recover fully from surgery and health concerns. O good and gracious God, your people around the world are in need of your grace. We have neighbors down the street and in neighboring states and on the other side of the globe who are struggling to recover from heartache and hurt. Lord, we pray for farmers and ranchers in Nebraska, for communities struggling with flood, for travelers who are stranded. We pray for all of those in Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Malawi, who were affected by Cyclone Idai. We pray especially for families who lost loved ones. Oh God, for all who grieve, may your strength and comforting presence come and abide with them. We thank you for the work that Carlos Cedilla shares as a missionary in Real, Mexico. And we pray your blessing upon members and leaders of the Church Universal that gathers this day in Christian community around the world, in buildings grand and humble, in outdoor settings and around coffee tables. Lord, wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you are present in our midst. We give thanks for you, the abiding heart of our community. Help us to be faithful, to be worthy of bearing the name Christian as we strive to follow Christ, in whose name we pray and we live. Amen.
When I'm not serving up front, usually after the children's time here and the kids head downstairs for Sunday school, I usually walk with Mackenzie to go with her down the stairs. The stairs are a difficult thing for little ones. The steps are too large and her feet are too little. So at the top of the stairs, I reach over and say to Mackenzie, "Hold my hand." I usually have an armful of blankets and then carrying the diaper bag and who knows what else we had to bring to church today. So it usually takes a little readjustment to get a hand free, but down the stairs we go. We hold on to little kids' hands so they don't fall. But no matter how many times we do it this way, kids don't really understand that we're doing this to keep them out of trouble. To them, it just looks like one more parental restriction with no obvious reason. So at the bottom of the stairs, kids let go of their parents' hands and rush away as fast as their little feet will carry them. Mackenzie especially loves to play this trick at the doors in the fellowship hall that lead out to the parking lot. She's going to chase her mom and sister. As the doors lead out to the parking lot and then there's cars moving about through it, this causes Mackenzie's dad to run after her a little quicker and grab her hand again. It's a good example of how two-year-old brains think, and I think it's a pretty fair example of how humans act in general. Similar to these examples, God sees the difficulties ahead of you. He knows that there are stairs are going to be hard to climb down, so he takes action to prevent you from getting into trouble. We, on the other hand, don't see the difficulties ahead, or some of us just ignore them completely. As a result, we bristle at God's restrictions and we decide that as soon as possible, we're going to take off on our own. We're going to do things our way as soon as we can. So the cycle repeats. We run off, he chases us and corrals us one more time. Why does God do this? It's because he knows you're a sinner, but he loves you. You're going to get into trouble and he wants to prevent it if possible. And the greatest example of this is the cross. You are a sinner, but before you were born, he sent his son to die on the cross for you. It's in his body that is broken as our atonement. It's in his blood that cleanses us from our sins. He's already taken this action for you. But he also gives us something that's in the present. Communion. It's not enough for us to know that he died. We must remember. So he gave us a memorial of his sacrifice so that we might know what to do today. Just like the toddler, he wants you to take his hand. He wants you to cooperate, which is to say he wants you to repent. He wants you to take your troubles to him. He wants you to take your sins to him, and he wants you to ask that he create in you a clean heart. Remember, too, that if the toddler's cranky enough, there's another method of going down the stairs. Dad reaches down and picks up the toddler and carries him. If things have gotten much worse in your life, God will reach down and carry you too. Let us come to the table today and remember the love that our Heavenly Father has for all of us. Our hymn of communion is number 406. Beneath the forms of outward right, and we'll sing all verses.
Quiet,
Lord,
Where are you today on your spiritual journey? Are you running free? Are you stumbling down the stairs? Or is God carrying you? Wherever you are on that journey, this feast is offered to nourish your soul. Here at First Christian, we share the Lord's Supper every Sunday, and we welcome all who believe in Christ, all who are looking for God's love, to come to the table. We remember the night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Father, as we prepare to join in communion, we pray that we may live the life that you have prepared for us. We pray that we may leave behind worldly temptations. We pray that we may mold ourselves and our standards to the love and life of the Son you sent to this world to redeem us. Last but not least, Lord, we pray that our faith in Jesus may grow within us each day we live on this planet. No end will ever come to our praise for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
This is the time of year when collegiate pageantry takes over our televisions with March Madness. However, the competition for college athletics never stops. When the game is over and the teams leave the court, they return to competition against each other for recruits next year. One method schools use to try and create excitement for potential recruits is to create what are called hype videos. Videos with upbeat music and sights that make each campus look as that's like the only place you want to be. One such video always catches my eye. It always pops up on social media. The music is loud, the beat is strong, and the message says, "Who's got it better than us? Nobody." I like that one a lot. Makes me think a lot about a lot of different things in my life, the good things, how much I've been blessed. In today's setting, that tagline makes me think about us as Christians, especially us as disciples. Who's got it better than us? Nobody. We live covered by the love of our Holy Father. We live with promises of grace, mercy, and forgiveness. We worship at an open table with open hearts and open minds. At the end of our walk, reunion in heaven. So today and throughout the year, when we get an opportunity to say thank you and give back to God, let us remember, ain't nobody got it better than us. The diaconate will now receive our tithes and offerings. Please pray with me. Lord, we ask that you bless these gifts and those who gave them, and bless those who need them. Lord, guide this church so that it continues to be a beacon of your love in our community. Amen. Our first reading of God's Word this morning can be found in the Old Testament, Psalm 133. It can be found in your pew Bible on page 575. Psalm 133, the blessedness of unity, a song of ascents. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing. Live forevermore.
This morning, I'd like to share with you not just one, but several New Testament readings. We are continuing our Lenten series looking at spiritual disciplines. If you were here last Sunday, you may recall that we reflected together on the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude, seeking time alone to be quiet and still to listen for the voice of God. On the Christian journey, silence and solitude are balanced by community, which is a spiritual discipline as well. There are numerous scriptures which talk about Christian community. John 15:12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Galatians 6:2 calls us to bear one another's burdens, for in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, we read, "Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing." The scripture listed in your bulletin is Romans 12, verses 1 through 5. You'll find it in your Pew Bible New Testament on page 161. Paul writes, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another." It's a powerful image to refer to the church as the body of Christ, and Paul does so numerous times in various letters. Later on in that chapter of Romans 12, in verse 9, he said, "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." It's as if Paul is calling the church to a love contest. Who can love each other more like Christ? Do not lag in zeal, he says. Bless, rejoice. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Truly, that is an experience of Christian community when there is a joy in your life to be able to share it with another believer and have that joy be multiplied in praise. And when life is hard, when sin drags you down, when you have known grief or suffering, when you weep, the church is there to weep with you as the body of Christ. Finally, Romans 12:16 says, "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are." Live in harmony with one another is the call to the spiritual discipline of community. Would you pray with me? Holy Christ, we thank you for the gift of community that we experience in this place. We give thanks for the gift of Christian community that crosses boundaries, transcends language, goes across time and around the globe. Bless the community of this congregation, of those who are in worship here this day, that we might be blessed by your presence, Holy One. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that our lives might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Thank you to the choir and Bob and Ethan for that beautiful gift of special music, and to Donna for sharing her skill with us. Of all the scriptures in the Bible that speak of community, the one that comes to mind for me first is Psalm 133. How very good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. The New Revised Standard Version translates, when kindred live together in unity. How good it is. If we're honest, sometimes the unity is kind of hard to get to. And that, my friends, is exactly what makes community a spiritual discipline. If it were easy, it would just happen. Everyone would automatically show up for worship together. Every church on the globe would be bursting at the seams. But it's not so easy. First off, it's not that easy to truly be a Christian, to humble yourself and follow Christ, and it is not always easy to be in Christian community. You see, God calls us to show up on Sunday morning, not just with people that we really like and we're excited to see, but also with those who challenge us a little bit. Maybe that person who has a different perspective than you do. Maybe that person who just through no fault of their own has an annoying personality and you kind of wish they'd come to worship at a different time. But there they are, same time as you, and every Sunday you greet one another because in Christ you belong to each other. Community takes discipline. First, just the discipline of showing up. You all are here on spring break. Congratulations. Now, I know you're thinking, oh, we're grandparents. We don't have grandkids. Yeah, but it's a beautiful day outside. For the first time, it's not snowy or blowy or icy. I'm proud of you for being here instead of, oh, maybe looking to see if the golf course is open already. It takes discipline just to show up. Not for only worship, but for all the events shared in the life of a congregation. For service and mission, for fellowship. The gift of community takes discipline because it takes work. But when you work at it, it is so worth it. That person who's been in the pew Sunday after Sunday, year after year, perhaps their life has been sweet and wonderful, but when tragedy strikes, where will they turn first? To their fellow Christians. To those who know what it is like to have a loss, to weep, or to struggle. How good it is, the psalmist says. In the New Revised Standard Version, how very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. In the Hebrew, the word translated as good in our text today from Psalm 133, the Hebrew word is tob. The same word shows up in Genesis. When God is busy making the world, you remember those wonderful stories? God makes all the plants and animals, and at the end of the day, God says, it is good. In Hebrew, it is tov. It is so good, it is holy. When God made the lights of the sun and the moon and the stars, God said, it is good, it is tov. And when God made man and woman, humanity, in God's own image, God said, it is very good. How good it is, the psalmist says, how good and pleasant when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. To be honest, that's kind of a foreign image to us, and it sounds a little bit messy. I don't know anyone personally who's ever doused their head in so much olive oil that it dripped down on their shoulders. And yet, in biblical times, in the Hebrew culture, it was a common practice. Think about it. Thousands of years ago, if you were living in the Middle East, a very dry climate, a desert climate, you didn't have the modern conveniences of running water in a shower or soap and shampoo. The air was very dry. Your skin was so dry that at times it could even crack open. So it was a common cultural practice to use olive oil as a moisturizer. People would rub it into their hair to massage it into their scalp. And if you were a man, you'd rub it into your beard. You might rub it on your skin to moisturize and soothe your body physically to deal with the harsh, dry climate. Additionally, culturally, olive oil became so important that it began to be used with religious significance. When a new king was called or a new prophet was chosen, they would be anointed with oil. In modern Christianity and most cultures now, if you're part of a church that practices anointing with oil, perhaps with prayers for healing, usually it's just a small amount of oil, maybe made in the sign of a cross on your forehead or your palm. A prayer is given. It's a connection with that ancient tradition. But at the time when Moses' brother Aaron became the first priest for God's people, there was no little tiny mark or dash of olive oil. No, it was poured in abundance over his head. The oil continued to pour until it flowed over his beard. And then it flowed down on his robes. And as priest, he would have been wearing a breastplate set with 12 precious stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. So symbolically, that oil flowed even over all those 12 tribes, all the people of God. To live together in community is to know the abundance of God, to know God's love and grace and mercy flowing upon us when our lives are parched and dry. The psalmist goes on to say, "It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion." Mount Hermon is a little ways north of Jerusalem. Jerusalem in the center of Israel is in a fairly dry region, but in the highlands where Mount Hermon is, dew comes in the mornings. It helps to keep the vegetation alive. Even when the rivers run dry, the highlands have enough elevation that overnight the air cools and moisture condenses. It's a site of being soothed in a desert land to encounter a plateau of green, of moisture, of life. The psalmist is calling upon two mountains to share their moisture. The psalmist is calling upon Mount Hermon, which is further away and dewy moist every morning, to share water with Mount Zion in the heart of Jerusalem at the temple. The blessing of God comes from those places where moisture is abundant to those places that are dry. The blessing of God flows into our lives. When we thirst most, we are given living waters. The gift of community is, in the context of this psalm, the gift of community is juicy and moist. It's like the joy of a little child biting into a slice of watermelon in the summer. And red juice drips down their chin, their fingers are sticky, and it tastes so good. Mom or dad might be worried about where the roll of paper towels is, but the kid is ready for another slice of watermelon. God's love is like that. God's love shared in community knows that joy and overflowing presence. It is indeed good. Tov. It is pleasant, delightful, holy. When the people of God live together, like family, like brothers and sisters, as kindred, in the house of God, when we come together, the Spirit of the Lord's love is offered upon all. Not because we're perfect and wonderful, but because we belong here. Because Jesus said, "All who believe in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life." There's a place at the table for each one of us, young or old, rich or poor, black or white, gay or straight, afraid or brave, educated or unlearned completely. All of us are invited by the Lord to come and find a place where we belong, sinner and saint alike. Are welcome in the house of God. That's what true community is. But that's also why it's a little tough sometimes, huh? May we continue to love one another. And when we feel ill-prepared for the task, may God's love flow through us as abundantly as oil dripping off the beard of a prophet's brother who's about to be priest. May God's love fall upon us as abundantly as dew on a high mountain, as deep as 4 feet of snow on Casper Mountain. May God's love moisturize our souls so we are never dry and thirsty again. May it be so. Amen and amen. Our hymn of dedication today is number 655, Community of Christ. If there is anyone here this morning who's looking for a church home, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing.
Thank you.
Would the congregation please be seated? This morning, coming forward are two friends who are not strangers to those of you who've been here a long time, but some of our newer members may not know Janet and Floyd Field. Janet and Floyd were participants here in this congregation for many, many years after being active at First Baptist, I believe. And most recently, they've been worshiping at Bethel Baptist Church. They felt a call from God to help a younger congregation during a time of transition when a friend of theirs was pastoring and then she retired. And the Lord on their journey has led them back here to First Christian, and we are blessed to welcome them home and to trust that God's journey will guide them forward with us in this place as we share community together, as we try to love one another and work side by side. So I want to reaffirm the faith that Janet and Floyd have shown for their whole lives by asking each of you, Janet, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and do you proclaim him as your Lord and Savior?
Absolutely.
I extend to you the right hand of Christian fellowship and pray God's blessing upon that statement of faith. Floyd, I ask you the same question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you proclaim him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
On behalf of the congregation, I extend to you the right hand of Christian fellowship and welcome both of you into full membership here at First Christian Church. May God bless your journeys. Now, don't put them to work right away. Let them just enjoy being here. It is a gift and a privilege to share in Christian community and fellowship on this day and every day. As we do every Sunday, following worship this morning, there are refreshments downstairs, coffee and cookies. I don't know who's in charge today, but I'm thinking maybe it's Jim and Tricia since they snuck out. So I invite you to stay after worship. Seek out someone that you don't know yet. It may be someone who's visiting here. It may be someone who's been here for a while, but you just don't know each other. Don't be ashamed to say, I'm sorry, I don't remember your name, and get acquainted a little. The coffee's hot, and hopefully the fellowship is warm. Janet and Floyd will join me at the back door following our benediction, and you can greet them on your way out. If all hearts and minds are clear, I invite you to stand that we might pray together. Holy and gracious God, we ask your blessing upon these friends whom we claim as brother and sister in Christ. Lord, we ask you to bless Floyd and Janet with peace, with health, with joy in their spirits, and with a true sense of being home in your loving arms. Oh God, bless all of us as we share in Christian community, working ever faithfully to follow Christ and to love one another. Oh Jesus, it is in your name that we pray, and we ask you to guide us throughout the week to come. Amen and amen. We'll go to the back door.
Dissonance, so I really got left.